Welcome back to Alyssa Explains It All. I hope you all are having a wonderful start and middle, I don't know, part of your day. We have a really fun episode. We always have fun episodes, but I was very excited about this one like I am for all of my other. I need to think of a new way to describe my feelings because it just feels like it's just all excited. But I am. I'm a very excitable person. Today, we have Jack on the podcast today. His social handles are Lil Chomp. We'll have them in the description. But you might have seen him before on TikTok. He makes all of these really funny videos about his job working at a sex shop and the people that he works with that are wonderful and lots of other just very funny content that he posts there. He has a lot of really great projects coming up and he is so sweet and you're going to love him. I don't want to make this too long. That would be a faux pas. That's an inside joke. You'll understand if you get to the end of the episode. I think that's all that I have to say. Just enjoy the episode. It's great. Oh God, I don't know how to end this. Okay, love you. Bye. I always miss Matt the second he leaves. He's the best. Were you guys chatting for a while?
Yeah, we started talking. I asked him about a horror movie.
Oh, which one?
Speak No Evil.
Oh, what is that one about?
It's like a Dutch movie or something like that. And it's about like this couple that like starts like double dating with this other couple that they meet on vacation.
I'm going to open this up in a tab so I remember to look at it later. Did you watch it?
Yeah. So I watched it forever ago. Me and Izzy, my girlfriend, are like always, you know, going through TikTok trying to find a new horror movie recommendation. And we've gone through them all. And people say amazing things about Speak No Evil. And I thought it was such hot garbage.
Really? Why? What version of hot garbage?
It's just like, you're just kind of uncomfortable the whole time, but not uncomfortable enough to be like, oh, this is a horror. It's like, it's not a horror movie. It's just kind of like a slice of life drama about a couple that's kind of an asshole.
That's lame.
And then the horror happens at the end and you're like, I had to wait so long for that.
Yeah, no, that's not fun at all. You don't need, like, I understand suspense being a very helpful tool, but not when the entire thing is literally just a drama and people are expecting it to be horror. That's garbage.
Yeah, I feel like all the, like, the payoff and the putting together the actual situation at the end, I'm like, half of this you could have spaced out through the movie and kept me interested.
It's giving could have been an email.
Yeah, a little bit.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here because I'm a big fan of your TikTok. It makes me laugh very much. And I don't know if Matt had said anything before, but I went onto a Netflix show actually with my vulva pillow and then was I was like Miss Vulva Vagina on the
circle.
Yes. Yeah. And so now we do all of our like sex education and fun sex stuff. And it's been a really good time. And so watching your TikToks from the sex shop crack me up. And I will give background to anybody who's listening and doesn't know who Jack is. He creates you have a lot of different kinds of TikToks that you make, but the ones that I found you from were telling stories about your job at the sex shop.
Yeah.
So when did you decide that this was going to be your TikTok legacy?
What was the first? Because I started, like, I didn't post on TikTok at all. Like, I posted a song that I wrote and I got like 9 nice comments. Nice. And I was like, I'm gonna chase that high. I'm gonna chase that for a little while.
Yeah.
And so I, for a while, like when I first started posting, all I posted was music, and I'm not a musician. I'm not trying to be a musician, but that's what I did. And then the first, I don't know what the first video was. Probably just some sort of customer interaction or a story. And then I had a TikTok for the store for a while, but that account got post banned.
Because
it was all like little funny stuff and then like educational stuff going through our different products. And then that account got banned from posting, so I couldn't do it anymore. But a couple of those videos did well. And then some people like went to my personal account and followed me there.
Right. Wow. That's cool. So what made you apply to the job? And is sex something that you're interested in? I mean, aside from like personal.
I'm passionate about it probably because I work there. Mm-hmm. I was, before the pandemic, I was working at a gay bar in the city, in San Francisco with my older brother. and it was just the commute was killing me. And I was going to my job like as a customer, because they sell like vape stuff, and I was vaping, you know, quitting nicotine. Quitting cigarettes. And I liked all the employees there, and I ended up applying just because I was like, I would love to pick up some shifts here where I don't have to commute 45 minutes into the Castro.
Yeah.
And they hired me then. And then I moved to Jersey, like 3 days before the pandemic. Like I moved to New Jersey. 3 days later, COVID lockdown happens. And I like, just in a 10-year window, I picked the worst possible weekend to move across country.
I did exactly that, but from New York to LA. I moved there March 1st and the whole city shut down March 10th. And I was like, sick. Okay.
We probably could have high-fived and the plane's going
across. Yeah, exactly. But so why did you move to New Jersey?
That's where I wanted to be at the time. I wanted to be on the East Coast. I like Jersey. I love Jersey.
Yeah.
I had friends that live there. Kind of a roommate house situation that I could kind of put up there. And I really like Jersey.
What, are you still in Jersey now?
No, I live in the Bay, San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, you went back.
Yeah. I'm living with my parents now, and then
same.
I'm moving into a house with my partner Izzy in like the next couple weeks.
That's exciting.
It is. It's scary. It's very scary.
Yeah. Well, I feel like nothing can really prepare you for that until you're there. And that makes it so much scarier. But if you have good communication skills, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
It's mostly money stuff.
Yeah. Well, I honestly, moving anywhere right now seems absolutely the worst. I can't. Yeah. I wanted to be here for like a year, maybe two. And now I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to leave. This is miserable.
Yeah.
It's so bad. But anywho, so is this your full-time job doing like working at the sex shop?
Yeah, I worked there 5 days a week.
That's crazy. I like only crazy because I'm thinking of the people who come in and the things that you must be exposed to.
Yeah.
I feel like I've worked a lot of retail jobs, and people just love to share a lot of personal information that I simply didn't ask for.
Uh-huh.
And I can't imagine what that would be like in a sex shop.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. We get like retail is retail no matter what kind of retail you are, but the fact that we're a sex shop and smoke shop as well, like our regular customers are the best of the best, and our problem customers are the worst of the worst.
Yeah,
like it's a really the opposite of a bell curve. It's to both extremes.
Yeah.
But yeah,
what are some of the most egregious things you've seen customers do?
I had to kick out a masturbator.
What was he in the aisles?
So we were kind of busy. He came out, like came in late at night, and he went behind the lube shelves for half a sec. And then he went back to like the porn where we have like the DVD porn and the magazines.
Yeah.
And he was there for a while, and he had his like one of his arms in his shirt.
And he was
making a mess. Like all the DVDs were everywhere, like on the floor. And I was like, hey man, we're closing soon. And you're making you're welcome to look through the stuff, but like you're making a mess that I'm gonna have to clean up. And he's kind of aggressive, being like, no, I'm gonna clean it up. I'm gonna clean it up. But as I'm talking to him, he doesn't have one of his arms, like one, because one of his arms is in his sweatshirt.
Right.
And I'm like racking my brain. I'm like, last time I saw this guy, did he have two arms, or am I being mean to an amputee?
And I
like couldn't put it together. And we kept watching him for a while, and then there was one time where he like reached up high and so like his shirt came up a little bit, and you could see his like his arm going from his shirt into his pants.
That's wild.
And so, yeah, and we closed at 11, and I still wasn't super sure. It was like the cameras are great, but they're not that great. Like I was like, I could be mistaken. I really try to give benefit of doubt as much as I can. But so I went over and I was like, hey, we're closed, you got to go. And then so he like left, and he was like, I'm going to buy these 6 DVDs. And I'm like, all right. And then he's like talking like he was still going to shop. And I was like, no, man, like you got to go.
Right.
He goes, you know what? Never mind. Take these DVDs, turn them sideways. And I could see where he's going. So I kind of smirked a little bit. And he goes, like, I started to laugh a little bit. And he goes, actually, I'm not going to give it to you like that, because you probably like it. It's probably a kink. And then he leaves.
What in the hell?
He's all funny. He's a funny guy. There are clips of him on my TikTok in like one or two videos of him moonwalking.
Oh my God.
He was lively. And then, so then he left. I locked the door behind him and he came back like 2 minutes later mm-hmm. to try and get in. The door was locked. He turned around and like donkey kicked the door, shattered it.
No. Yeah. How strong is he? Or do you have shitty doors?
A little bit of both. I mean, he's like full crackhead, like big into it.
Mm-hmm. Big so, yeah. into it. So one of his passions. Of
that going on. Yeah. That's it's nice weird. To have a hobby.
I mean, listen, his two hobbies are absolutely scarring you at your workplace.
And crack cocaine.
And, you know, like crack cocaine. Wow. Okay. And I also saw a TikTok where you were talking about, and I want to like talk more about you and your whole like your journey through life, if you will. But I also, there was another TikTok that I was thinking about earlier today, because I think it's pinned too, where you were talking about straight men in sex shops being particularly the worst. Yes. Okay. So please share your tips for straight men as best as you can remember them or whatever you have on the top of your head. And also explain why they're the worst in sex shops, please.
Yeah. It's like, I really like, for the sake of a TikTok, like I'm going to make it more. Like,
yeah.
Trying to make it funny and kind of shitting on it. But it's like, it is the vast majority of customers doing the most and really not being okay.
Yeah.
In the store is straight men.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass your girlfriend. Stop. In a video, I say like, she's not saying your name over and over again because she's cheering you on.
Right.
You're being embarrassing.
Right.
I had to ask a guy recently to not lick stuff. And he's not like a crazy, he wasn't a crazy person. He was just some random bro that thought one of the masturbators was really funny. So he's like, oh, I got to get a picture. And he like took a selfie, like
licking it.
Yeah. Licking the box.
That's also just like, just gross all around. Like why are we?
Do you want to do that?
I've never wanted to lick a public item. Like an item that like so many people have touched. Nasty.
Yeah. Don't open boxes.
Mm-hmm.
People open boxes. There's signs everywhere that say don't open the boxes, but people don't read signs. Mm. But if I walk up to someone who isn't a straight man, I go, hey, excuse me, please don't open the boxes. If you want to take a look at something, we have display models. If we don't have a display model for that toy, we can bring it up to the front, put gloves on and take a look at it. Most people go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, like the shitty kind of straight dude will go, it was already open.
Oh, for the love of God.
And it's like, no, no, it wasn't. I watched you open it with my own two eyes.
Yeah.
And usually they like sometimes when they say it was already open, they mean like the top flap was a little bit pried already.
Right. And they're like, it was open.
Yeah. I'm like, that's not who, even if it was already open.
Yeah, that's
that doesn't
not,
change anything.
That's you not still an invitation. Took it out. Yeah, and I also feel like you know how there are people who say that you can tell who's worked in restaurants before. I feel that way about retail too. I'm going to a store, like I worked in a lot of clothing stores, especially in college, and one of the places I worked was J. Crew again, and that's another nightmare, which I will never revisit that ever. Uh-huh. I don't think I've walked in a J. Crew since I worked there. But they have very specific ways to fold shirts and they stack them really tall. And so anytime I'm shopping and I see like a stack of shirts, I am the most careful because I'm like, I know there's someone in the back who's going to have to fold all of this. And I don't want that for you. I don't want it for you.
Yeah. And any mistake on this shirt means having to redo all these shirts.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not fucking having it. I'm not having it. There's no amount of money that you can pay for me to just fold. Well, actually, no, there is an amount of money that you can pay for me to fold shirts and refold them over and over again. So that's literally what I did.
Yeah. But that number is higher nowadays.
Yes, indeed. Well, you would hope, but I actually don't really feel like the number that it, I don't know. I just feel like no one's ever paid the amount of money that they should be, but you know.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there. Okay. So we're talking about how straight men are particularly strange in sex shops. I think they're just like, they're so embarrassed that they just big dick in stores like that.
Yeah. Most like faux pas in a sex store that are not like, you know, crimes or shoplifting or just like you are an asshole are going to be coming from a place of nervousness or insecurity and like, but it's like, you know, I try not to use the word insecurity, at least in this context, in a way that is pejorative the right word, in like a negative light? Because it's
demeaning, maybe. I think pejorative is like a grammat. Is it a, is that like a grammatical thing? Pejorative.
I asked you, so I don't know.
Okay, you know what?
But I try to not use, like, because everyone's insecure, and when it comes to sex, I don't care how sex positive, how great you are with it. There is always going to be at least one piece that has a little bit of insecurity, because it's it's an inherently vulnerable thing.
Yeah.
Vulnerability is where something is, like, that's where that little, that nerve is. Like,
yeah.
There's always going to be a piece of it, at least, that you have a little insecurity about. So it's like, everyone's got one a little bit. So I try to not use that word when I'm talking about like a customer acting out, even a straight man acting out in a way that's like, oh, you're a piece of shit for having an insecurity. It's like, no, just, hey man, go talk to your, just talk to your mom.
Just talk to your mom. Just have a little sit down. It's fine.
Just talk to your mom.
Everything will be okay. Talk to your mom. That's really good advice. I think in general, just go talk to your mom. It'll solve
give her
a chat.
Give her
a little chat. Give her a call. She's waiting. Yeah. I also think part of it's, there's so much shame around sexuality too, that people don't, especially I think, and it's all based on like media messages, but, and a lot of other things, but mostly media messages, that if someone is going to be using a sex toy, that they are not doing what they should be to get this person to like finish or whatever they're trying to do. And so it's like this, I think there's sort of an inferiority complex a bit there too. And I just like, I want people to be able to look at sex shops and like all of these other things that you can add to your sex life as just being like, they're sprinkles. Everything else is great. You just want like a little extra something.
Yeah. They're tools. Like if someone's like, a couple comes in and they're asking for toys and they're being really vague, I'm like, what are you trying to accomplish? What's missing you're trying to add? What's existing you're trying to supplement? Like, there's a goal you have here. And if that goal's just, we're trying to mix it up, great. Yeah. But for some people, it's like, we're trying to help with like certain amounts of stimulation or overstimulation or like erections and keeping them or getting them or whatever that may be. It's like, you have something that you want. I'm just, the difficult part mostly is just getting them to tell that to me.
Right. Right.
It's like, I can't solve your problem if I don't know what it is.
Right. Is there anything that's in the shop that you think is like severely underrated that everyone has to have?
Dick pills from good companies.
Oh, okay. What's a good company like from experience?
Max Fuel makes a drink. Is the one that I personally, because there's, you know, there's a, you go into a gas station, you see like 1,000 dick pills all from the Rhino company. There's a billion rhinos. The numbers on those packages don't mean anything. They might mean a little something, but that something is unknown to us all and so tiny, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It does. They're like, people will be like, that one says 24, but that says 8,000X. And I'm just like, dude, it doesn't mean anything.
No. And are they mostly just like supplements, like vitamin type situation and caffeine maybe?
How I say, the analogy I use for people when I'm explaining it is like, it just makes it like, it's not something you take like, you know, Molly or Viagra where it's like, it takes effect and you can feel like a come up.
Right.
It just makes it so when you start your car, you have a full tank of gas.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah. So it's like, feelings of arousal and blood flow and sensitivity, but also like helps delay ejaculation a little bit. If you'd like, the biggest thing it does that's like measurable is it shortens the refraction period for men. So it makes it so it's easier to climax multiple times.
Yeah.
For men, like closer together. But yeah. Yeah. And they make them for women too.
I love that you used the refraction period. Look at you.
Is that the right? Is that the right
brain?
Thing?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So if anyone does not know, your refractory period is after you climax, how soon after you can essentially, for men, get hard, for women, like orgasm again. And women don't really have, and when I'm saying women, I'm speaking more of like when you were born and someone looked at you and said, it's a girl, it's a boy. Obviously, however you identify is your own business. But For vulva owners, they have like pretty much no refractory period. And for penis owners, you have a pretty significant one. So for some people, it could be like hours. And for some people, it could be like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those pills kind of sync it up. But as far as companies go, there's a brand called Max Fuel that makes a liquid mm-hmm. that I personally like more than the pills.
That's so interesting. That was like, of all the things that could be in the shop, that was not what I would have expected you to answer that with.
In the store, they're not underrated, but I think in society, a lot of people think of them as this like kind of like snake oil, which if it's mm-hmm. from the Rhino company, it kind of is. But
yeah,
if you look on the back of the packages for a lot of them have all the same stuff.
Yeah.
Horny goat weed and stuff like that.
Right. But
it's just like, people have a certain idea of them that is false. And I'm like, mm-hmm. you can super enjoy this. And this is one of those things that like toys are great. Toys are have like, it's more common for a toy to be a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like the pills, or you probably seen on TikTok, like the honey packets, stuff like mm-hmm. that. Those are more so like, you can split this with your partner. There are some that are gendered, some that are not gendered very much, but like, you can split the Max Fuel shot. You can split that with your partner mm-hmm. and it's just fun. It's not yeah. like I have to know a button to press. I have to know like this or that, or I'm trying to use it for this purpose. It's just a little
boost.
Different kind of fun.
A little something. I would imagine that even if the products are gendered, they probably work in a similar way. Like all of our genitals are the same stuff, just organized differently. And
yeah.
split in utero at like
most of the gendered products in the supplement mm-hmm. category are only gendered by the marketing, and that's
yeah it. Totally I 100% see that. And it's even interesting because I didn't even realize until I started my own education in sexuality and whatever that vulva owners also have like, if you see the blood flow that would have been an erection if you had a penis, like that's mm-hmm. a whole thing too. And yeah. so I don't doubt at all that that would help really yeah. anybody. That's so interesting that that's what you chose. Are there anything that people buy that surprises you that like people buy very often?
Shitty vibrators.
Really?
Yeah. There's certain toys, certain vibrators that I'm like, look, we have something else at a similar price point.
Yeah.
That you just look at it. You can just tell it's better quality.
Yeah.
I'm not on the clock. So like when I'm at work, you know, you try not to like actively badmouth anything in the store. You just sure. recommend something else if you don't like this one.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the company screaming. Oh,
so oh, much. They make the cock rings. I've seen those they before. Make
little cock rings, little vibrators, little finger things.
Yeah.
Those are not, that is not a toy you use for 6 months. That is mm-hmm. a toy you use once, if that. They break, they don't work. I hate that company so much.
Yeah, they're garbage. And I also feel like they're not that differently priced than anything else. So I don't really know.
They're not even incredibly affordable.
Yeah, like if it was super cheap and I'd be like I would recommend them just to see if that's something that you're interested in investing in, fine. But I don't really think the price discrepancy is enough to do that.
Yeah. Like if you're going to spend $20 on something that takes batteries, we have $20 ones that take batteries from like reputable companies.
Right.
From companies that have great hardware. They're just making a like budget friendly line.
Mm-hmm. What kind of companies do you like? Are there any that like stand out to you?
Femfun, FEMMEFUN,
mm-hmm.
maybe another N. Femfun has really good hardware. I sell a lot of there. They're nicer. They're a little bit up there in price. Something mid-range is Vedo or Vedo.
Mm-hmm.
I say both. It's Vedo.
Yep.
Vedo has like a bunch of different toys with a bunch of different designs. They're super easy to work.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like their button layout and whatnot. So I sell a lot of those because they're a good like medium price range with a lot of versatility and they're super user friendly.
That's cool. Yeah. I feel like you have a lot of, you have a lot more exposure to all of this stuff than most people would have. And I feel like now people are shopping a lot online for things like that so that you don't have to physically be there and the package gets to you and it's discreet and whatever. And I think that that, you know, shopping online is great. It's very convenient, but there's like any other in-person experience, it's so much better to be in person and be able to like have a conversation about what you're getting. And I've only been to one sex shop, but several times. And the people who work there are the nicest, funniest, most like chill people. Like they're obviously not gonna make anything feel weird. And I'm sure that you have that experience too, but people get so nervous and there's nothing to be nervous about.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just like, people will like sometimes give like a profuse thank you after a interaction sometimes. And I say it a little bit as a joke and a little bit not, but I go like, they literally pay me to do it.
So, we're all good. Problem. That's so funny.
That honestly, that's the biggest like thing that would get an employee like fired from my job. Mm-hmm. Like people at my specific store, less so now, but in the past, there has been history of people getting away with a lot.
Really?
Like, real bad, as long as they're great with customers.
Interesting.
Like, if you really get work done, you're always on time, you stock stuff, like you're great in a bunch of different ways, mm-hmm. but you're just kind of mean to customers and mm-hmm. Like don't use the right verbiage when talking to someone on like the sex shop side in a way that starts to become like a little bit crude or a little bit insensitive or kind of doesn't make them feel super comfortable. Like that like has a much lower bar than a lot of other things that some would call like an employment faux pas.
Faux pas. Yeah.
I don't use the word faux pas. I've used it twice in this interview.
I like that. I like that you're wanting to be fancy on this interview.
You're making me feel French.
Oh my God. I love that. I don't, well, sure. I don't know anything in French. So how did you and Izzy meet?
Tinder.
No way. That's great. I feel like low-key Tinder is the app that is the most like real life, because in real life, if you were to see somebody that you thought was cute, literally the only information you have is we're in the same place and I'm looking at you physically and that's literally it.
Yeah. And in my experience, and it's been a while, but in my experience, other like Bumble and stuff like that wasn't great for me.
Yeah. No, in general, I think there are some people who go on apps and their personalities like really carry over. And then there are some where that's just so not the case. And I could go either way. Sarcasm doesn't carry over well. And that's always kind of an issue.
Yeah, no, because on Bumble and Hinge, they have such like a big emphasis on like being able to put parts of your personality in your profile. Where on Tinder, it's like you can see pictures and a small bio. And if it's a big bio, that's plenty information.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like it ends up being more performative in my experience that with Bumble and Hinge, you have all these different panels on your profile to try and
reel them in,
present yourself. Where on Tinder, it's a lot less and it's a little bit more brutal. Mm-hmm. And which dating is oftentimes.
How long have you guys been together?
2 years. Yeah. Over 2 years. We celebrated our anniversary a couple months ago.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. 2 years. 2 years is a long time.
Longest relationship I've ever been in.
Really? What was your dating history like before?
We beat out a year and a half. Was the runner up.
Got it. Okay. Did you date in high school or did you kind of like date later?
I dated in high school.
Okay. What were you like in high school?
Not great. Bad.
What flavor of bad?
I was by 16. I was pretty heavily into pills, real drug addicted.
Oh, this is the worst kind of bad.
Real good. And Marin County, if you don't know, is a very, very rich county in California in the San Francisco Bay Area. And that's where I grew up at the time, identifying straight, but very clearly not, but straight white male in a very rich, white, privileged county. Mm-hmm. So my sense of empathy wasn't fantastic. I really didn't have many consequences in my life.
Right.
As evidenced by rampant drug use immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no, I wasn't great.
Oh God.
I was not a fantastic high schooler.
That's okay. High school doesn't really mean anything. And also now you're doing great. Look at you.
Yeah, I've thank God. Thank the Lord.
You pulled it together. You pulled it together.
At least I tried to.
Yeah, you're here. Everything's fine. Do people come into your job and like because they recognize you?
People recognize me at my job.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where I'm like, it's clear that they were in the store and then noticed me. And there's a couple times where I'm like, after like you milled around for a while and then you walked up and were like, hey, do you do TikToks? I love your TikToks. And then they left without buying anything. And those couple times I'm like,
that's weird.
Am I being egotistical? Or did they come in here because they were local and knew where I work? It hasn't been an issue yet.
Yeah.
I would say it happens like once a week. Mm-hmm. I'll get like recognized at work, and no one's been like shitty or bad or terrible yet, at least. It seems like most of the people that follow me are fantastic.
Well, I think also like the content that you post, who would come in and then like yell at you for that? You know?
Yeah. I don't think if anyone were to cause a problem, it would be someone that is like chronically online. Someone that like doesn't transfer into real life. You know, people like leave a comment that's like they mean it in a nice way, but it's like that's not how you talk to people.
Yeah, I understand. Actually, I had there's a guy named Alan who follows me on Instagram. The man is my biggest fan. He's got to be like in his 60s. Nice. And he comments on so many of my pictures. And one of them recently was, you look great. Did you lose a bunch of weight? And I was like, now hold on a second, Alan. Because what the hell is that? Who does that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I had a similar thing. I got a DM. And I try not to talk about like negative social media experiences in a way because, you know, people make mistakes, people make faux pas.
Mm-hmm.
But someone commented or DM'd me being aware of, you know, my history of addiction. I'm 3 years sober now, or 3 years clean from my drug
choice. Congratulations.
Thank you. But they commented and they're like, hey, are you doing okay? It looks like you've lost a lot of weight. And I responded, I said, hey, this is not an okay thing to say to someone you don't personally know.
That's wild. Handled that very well.
Just don't comment on someone's weight. I'm doing great, by the way.
Fuck. And I also feel like in general, the parasocial relationship is always really weird. Like there's a few girls who have like keep tabs on where I am going. Like if I say, I'm going to like, I had a friend from LA come here and do a comedy show. And I said I was going to be there. And they like showed up to that. And then my boyfriend did another show and they like showed up to that. And it's like, it's a little too close. And they DM me a lot.
Yeah. No, when I first was doing TikTok, I would like say where I work. I do not do that anymore.
Yeah. No.
It would not be that hard to find if you like went through videos and did some research. It wouldn't be terrible, but I try not to very like clearly and explicitly go, this is the address of my workplace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try not to do that.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's scary. I don't like that at all. How does it feel to have people like know who you are like that when they do come up to you and they're not being scary?
Fucked up. Feels fucked up. Feels so fucked weird. It's a war. Like I said, in high school, wasn't a great kid, bad guy, shitty. And I went to like an arts high school for like acting. So, and then I went to like acting school after high school. So baked into that is some sort of need for attention normally.
Mm-hmm.
And then baked into addiction is a inherent narcissism.
Right.
Like I do exactly what I want. And also I'm God. And so trying to not take part in any of those unhealthy thought processes while also being successful on TikTok, I have to like, I'm trying to be like, make sure you're doing this in a way that you would do it on day one.
Yeah.
Like if someone DM'd you when you had 10 followers, respond the same now as you would have then.
Yeah. I had an experience recently at a and like an influencer party, which literally every single one of those that I've gone to is so horrifically boring, but whatever, it's good for networking. So I went to one of these parties last week and there was someone that I recognized from TikTok and I couldn't remember his name right away, but I saw him walk past me and I was like, oh my God, hey, I love your TikToks. And he looks at me and he just goes, thank you, and keeps walking. And I was like, honestly, respect. That's James hilarious. I wish it was James Charles. I wish it was James Charles. Thank you. And I was like, wow, okay. That's wild.
I try to do the best to like make sure I ask their name. Mm-hmm. That I'm gonna forget anybody's name, no matter the context, but I try my best to ask their name. And even though they literally came up to be like, I like you and the thing that you do. Yikes. I still in my brain, I'm like, don't make this conversation about yourself.
I understand. Now you're like overcorrecting and now it's, yeah, it's stressful. Yeah.
I'd rather overcorrect in that direction. However, like yeah. I'll take it.
I totally understand. I'm similar. I cannot fathom the idea of someone coming up to me thinking that I'm going to, I don't know, like not be nice. I already get told that I have resting bitch face, which is like fine, whatever. Like there's nothing I can really do. I lived in New York City for like 10 years. I didn't have a choice. So like, you know, that's fine. But then I don't want people to feel scared to come up to me too if they want to say hi.
Yeah.
But even saying that makes me feel like a douchebag.
Yeah, because you're like, because I'm assuming anyone would want to say hi to me.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, and who the hell am I? Like, no. Yeah. I will say, so my boyfriend was on the show with me. He was on the circle too. And he played, I don't know if you, like, do you know how that show works at all?
My girlfriend watches
okay
all the Netflix reality stuff. So I'm trying to put it together. I'm like, okay, which one's The Circle? Which one's The Ultimatum? Which one's Love Island?
The Circle's not a dating show at all. It's a competition show. And
gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't like meet each other in person. We communicate through this like whatever app essentially, or like social media network type thing. And you can go in as yourself or you could go in as a catfish and pretend to be someone else entirely. He pretended to be his 62-year-old mother on the show. And he like called himself Mama Carol all the time. And that name really stuck. And so when we are out, people recognize him way more than they recognize me. And I think like, you know, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me. But when they say hi to him, it takes them several seconds to realize who I am. So I always have a little bit of like a little balancing moment, pretty much. It's very humbling. It's very humbling. Yeah. There was one time where someone flagged him down. They were like, Mama Carol. And he was like, oh, this is also Alyssa from the show. And they went, I don't think we got to your episodes yet. We both started on the first episode.
Yeah, I was like, you're on all the episodes, aren't you?
And I was like, you're going to love it when you see it. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. You're going
to
love it on the rewatch.
Exactly. It's so funny, but it's very humbling at the same time. Like, it's just, I don't know, very silly.
Izzy made a really funny joke in a similar circumstance. We had just saw a concert and we were outside talking to a couple friends and someone walked by and was like, hey, I love your TikToks. I hope you enjoy the show. And I was like, thanks. I did. Did you? And they said, yeah. And they walked away.
Yeah.
And Izzy also posts on TikTok. She has like 10K. She does it more so for fun. But she also posts on TikTok. So after they walked away, she like pretended to yell back. And I'm like, what about my TikToks?
It's just like echoes through the hallway. It's so bad.
Oh my God. I love her with all my heart. She's so funny. Oh God. I love that joke.
I will say to John when like things like that happen, I'll just be like, just living my everyday life with my famous boyfriend. It's
I know.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, you're so famous.
Yeah, it's so famous of you.
Really hype him up.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, literally shut up, never talk to me again. Like, I get it.
You're on the same show with me.
Yeah, no, yeah, I get it. Have your interactions changed with people that you have known for a while since you've gotten your TikToks off? No?
No. The only thing I would say is like when if a moment happens at work that is in view of the security cameras, I've had like a friend of mine, like Haley or Carla or Jesse or whatever, will like make a joke about seeing me grab a pen to write down what time it is and what camera to go look up.
They're watching. It's how the sausage is made. They're watching.
I know. It's like, cause that's like, you know, trying hard to not be the kind of person that like everyone in my actual life has to feel like every moment's going to get farmed for content.
Yeah.
But also some of these people are great content.
Right. And also, I mean, you're doing this at your job, and that those TikToks do really, I mean, they do really well from what I've seen. So, you know, whatever. You're making your job much more fun that way.
Yeah. Unrestricted access to the security cameras at work.
Wild.
Is responsible for 250,000 of my followers, I would say.
That's crazy. Wait, so explain a little bit about what you do with the security cameras for anyone who hasn't seen you before. Like what those
videos
are like.
We have security cameras and the monitor is, you know, at the counter. And so us behind the counter, we're watching the security monitors. Theft is a big problem. People opening boxes. You know, we're watching the cameras. And we just have unrestricted access to them. So whatever clip it may be, whether I'm doing a captain's log or a hide and seek video that I do sometimes, I can just pull up a camera and just rip that footage onto my phone super easy. Wait. And something about the it being security footage.
Yeah.
I feel like they do well because it feels more authentic.
Well, it is actual security footage,
right? Like when you're talking into your phone, people are going to be, even if it's not like fully consciously, like subconsciously, they're aware.
Yeah.
This person decided to press record in this moment. Mm-hmm. Whereas security cameras, even if I was like a captain's log doing that footage on purpose, like it's fully scripted or whatever, mm-hmm. it being security footage, I feel like makes it seem more authentic or feel more authentic.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot about that when I think about people who have like couples accounts and post like their like dates and stuff. I'm like, that's so crazy that you're spending time with your partner and you're just putting a phone somewhere and filming you guys like eating spaghetti. Like, that's so weird to me. Like, I would never in a million years want to do that.
Yeah, there's one couple, like couples TikTok account that I don't remember their names. If I did, I probably wouldn't say it because I don't want to be mean.
Yeah.
But I have such a huge issue with them.
I feel like I already know.
They're really cutesy. They're really cutesy. But like a lot of TikTok couples, every video is like, today I'm going to prank my girlfriend by pretending to be angry at them. I'm like, you know, that's also called abuse. That's also fully just emotional abuse.
Yes.
Today, for this video, I'm going to spend a week calling them by a slightly different name till they go fucking crazy and think they're overthinking something. I'm like, that is I hope to God every single one of those videos is entirely staged and they're both great actors, because that's not okay.
I think a lot of them are completely staged, because I think like,
I hope so.
Well, I guess it depends on their communication skills. Because realistically, if there was a problem, like if I was suddenly just pretending to be mad at John, he'd be like, whoa, like what is going on? Like, let's talk about it. Like, look, do we need to go on a walk? Like, there would be like some communication there based on we've been dating for over a year, so that we know how to do that. I think it's very strange when people are, especially like married couples who do stuff like that. And I'm like, there's no way that this is how you're reacting to something like that. It's just like, that's so strange.
Yeah, it boggles my mind. It's so hard. Weird. It's important to me to not make all my content. I work at a sex shop, because if I ever stop working at my sex shop, I need to be able to still make content.
Yeah.
Because I love doing it. I love it so much. It's so fantastic. And so like to have the whole account, the main account is based on your relationship to a person or even to like a pet or something. That puts me on edge, because I'm like, everything ends. What's going to happen to you?
No. Okay. I need to tell you about everything else. My grandmother, who's 85, she's an 85-year-old Italian woman.
Nice.
She's just like depressing to be around. And one of the things that she says to me all the time is, everything ends. Like,
Nona, you're
God.
A fucking downer.
Literally, Nona, what the hell? It's like 8 a.m. and she'll be like looking at pictures, like group pictures that are old, and she'll be like, everyone in this is dead. Jesus Christ.
Nona, I'm trying to catch a buzz, dude.
Oh my God. It's wild. So everything ends was a hilarious thing to say.
That's funny.
But yeah, so what do you want to, is there anything that you want to branch out into on your TikTok and your content that you haven't branched out into yet?
On my TikTok, I don't know. Branching out that I'm trying to do right now is one, the podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Izzy are going to put together a podcast. Do you know the podcast Pen Pals?
No, what is that?
It's these two comedians, Rory Scovel and Daniel Van Kirk. I love their podcast. And I just saw Rory Scovel do his stand-up live on the 25th, like a couple days ago. And it was so fucking funny. Oh, God, it was so hilarious. Rory, if you ever hear this, I love you with all my heart. And I'm copying their podcast. Their podcast, people write in. They have pen pals and they talk about it. Me and Izzy are going to do a call-in style podcast. We have this bear phone that we thrifted in Portland that we love.
Love it.
So we're going to use that either fully, like using it, or as a prop.
Mm-hmm.
So me and we're going to do that podcast. That's like a call-in series. And before we get to there, I'm starting a podcast that I call Have We Met, where it's an interview series with people that I know very well. The first episode is my younger brother. And the whole point is we spend time leading up to the interview, coming up with questions for each other that we don't know, despite knowing each other very well.
That's a great concept.
I'm just really proud of the name. Have We Met? I was in the shower in Outlet. I said, Jack, you scab.
I get a lot of my best ideas in the shower too.
I literally had one today for a TikTok that I needed to write down that you just reminded me to write down.
Okay, good. Write it down.
I'm going to write it down right now. I'm going to tell you what I'm writing down. It's going to make no sense. TikTok ideas note, babies named Stephanie.
Oh, God. I can't wait to see it when it comes out. I'm going to be like, what in the hell?
It might not transfer. We'll see if the joke actually comes across.
Okay, we'll see. Well, we're almost at an hour, and I enjoy
hot damn
so much. I know.
Hot diggity damn.
Well, I ask everyone who comes on the podcast what their best dating advice would be. Is there anything that sticks out to you?
The real answer that is like not great advice because it's hard to accomplish, but is of like do what you can to make everything low stakes, because if the first date or the second date or getting a certain text or a certain call or a conversation going a certain way, if any of that is high stakes, you are almost incapable of coming across authentically or just being with the person or just being in the moment. And that's how that person gets to know you and if they want to be with you. So the main thing is like, just like, you know, that thing of like, you know, you're dating and you really want to find someone and you try, no, that didn't work out. And you try this person and that didn't work out. And then you see this person for a couple months and that didn't work out. And you're at your wit's end and you're like, I'm done. Yes. I'm absolutely done. And then you're married 9 months later.
Like, yeah.
And that's so the thing true. Is like, because you got to a point where it was low stakes because you were no longer trying for anything.
Yeah. Okay. They're blowing my mind because the low stakes, like that is such a good way to put it. That's great. I love that.
If everything's riding on anything, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Like if everything is riding on a certain moment, odds are that moment is not going to be your best.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think that's great advice. I have one last question for you. You specifically, because of your expertise and whatever. Okay, so if someone went on a date and the person, like, let's say it's like fourth, fifth date, or maybe they like just started dating, they go to a sex shop. What would be a red flag and what would be a green flag?
As far as behavior or purchases?
Either, actually.
So, like, you're on a date with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Okay, you're on a date with someone.
This is the date.
And they go.
This is part of the date.
Let's go to the sex shop.
Well, maybe it's like an adventurous date. Like, let's like spice it up. Let's like go together. We'll pick something.
Okay. What would be a red flag? Opening boxes.
Yes.
Stealing.
Licking boxes.
Licking boxes.
Sure.
Gosh, what would be a red? To me, that whole thing is very like it's
the
difficult
whole situation.
For that whole thing not to be a red flag. If I'm on a first date with someone, my first date with Izzy was very close to my job.
Yeah.
If she had been like, hey, there's a sex shop around here. Do you want to go? I'd be like, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah, no, I would never accept that on a first date. But if you're like dating, it's like, but it's new and you want to be adventurous and this would be something that you could like do together.
I mean, it would probably be the same red flags as anything else with sex. So like if they're saying statements, not asking questions, we're getting that. We're getting that. Not,
yeah.
What do you want? Do you want that? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or if they're just swinging for the fences, mm-hmm. if they're like, I'm going to get the biggest dildo or the
right.
biggest, most powerful vibrator or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this person is, it's the same energy of like, you know, like high school or college dudes that have only watched porn and just treating a clitoris like it's a bowl of mashed potatoes.
Like a bowl of mashed potatoes. All I was thinking about was with the giant dildo, like that man doesn't care about my internal organs at all.
No, he doesn't understand them.
That's true.
He doesn't know where they go.
Like, all
of a woman's internal organs are in columns right here. And then her vaginal canal goes up to like about her collarbones, right?
Yeah, exactly. This is perfect. Yeah, I love that.
That's the layout.
That is the layout.
Very open floor plan.
I'm a sex educator and I can confirm that is actually the layout.
It's yeah, you got in the x-rays.
Exactly. I have the proof. I've read the labs. Anywho, it was so nice to talk to you. I love having these conversations because I always feel like when I'm watching somebody's content and then meeting them in person, it either goes one of two ways. And I feel like you have a lot more calm energy than, not that I thought you were going to be like nuts, but you have such like a calming energy. You're very chill.
Woo! Fuck yeah! Let's go! We're going to Vegas!
It's fine. I didn't need my eardrums. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I love having you on. You're welcome to come back anytime. And I'm so excited to like keep up with all these exciting new projects you have. Do you want to plug anything?
My mom heard me yell and came to check on me. Okay. Plugs. I'm on TikTok. That's where I do most of all my stuff. My handle is Lil Chomp. That's Chomp spelt with a zero. All of my links are in my bio there. I have an Instagram. I should put my Twitter in there, but I'm not very active on Twitter. But if you want to follow me on TikTok, all of my forthcoming projects are going to be coming out soon. You know, the soonest will be the first episode of Have We Met. After that, probably the call-in podcast with Izzy. I have plans for a YouTube channel series where I give something I've never done, you know, the old college try, like mm-hmm. playing around a golf or putting together a 5-minute stand-up set or something that I'm scared to do that I'm going to fully and earnestly try to do.
I love that.
Yeah. Or and then after that, I try not to say any projects like that aren't like concrete yet, but now I'm just doing it. So the YouTube channel, then after that are a book of poetry and a book of short stories that I have in my back pocket.
You're very busy.
I'm not. All these things are probably months in between, and all the work that's been done on them was done a long time ago.
That's okay. You're pulling it together, and that's exciting. I'm excited to see all of it come to fruition. You have lots to do. You have lots of projects to work on, so I'm not going to hold you any longer, but I appreciate
I'm
you coming
on. I'm not
doing
any of them right now. I'll tell you that much.
Thank you so much for listening. As a reminder, we are always accepting questions about sex ed, about relationships, life advice. We will accept it all. We would love to hear from you. So send us an email to AlyssaExplainsItAllPod@gmail.com.